previously on Your Kingdom Come.
The big idea is even the smallest of next steps can require the biggest demonstrations of faith. Peter only needed one reason to take a step off that boat, and that's because Jesus told him to. If we're looking for other reasons to be obedient to the Lord, then we're just wanting to be disobedient. I don't need other reasons. I need to know that He's called me to do whatever it is He's called me to do. Whatever this next step looks like. For Peter, it was get off the boat. Jesus is there, come. Peter says, all right, I'm going to do it. And he walks on water. When he took his eyes off of the Lord, then the circumstances of life cause him to be afraid. And then he starts to sing. The same thing is true of us. When I can focus on Jesus and just step when He wants me to step and go when He wants me to go, then I can do that. I can do that with a little bit of boldness because I'm just following Him. And life can be going on crazy around me, but I'm following Him.
Well, amen. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you open it up with me once again to the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew chapter 14 will be our place today. I don't know about y'all. I love our choir. I love singing alongside them. Today was awesome. Thank you, Jenna, for leading us in that. Maybe you want to join the choir. I don't know about y'all, but there's a place for you. But man, the truth that God invites us to taste of that living water. So many times we look for hope and life and everything else but Him, but He alone is the one who has it. And so let's look to Him today. Matthew 14 reminds us of this. We've been in the Gospel of Matthew now for a while. I mentioned at the 8:15 service this morning, today's a special day. You may not realize it, but if you do the math, there's 28 chapters in Matthew. We just are going to finish up chapter 14, so we're at the halfway point today. Some of you are like, oh my goodness, you'll preach my funeral before we get out of Matthew. But no, we'll pick up the pace a little bit in the second half. We spent a lot of time in the Sermon on the Mount. The second half will go a little bit faster, but I've thoroughly enjoyed walking through this book, and today we're going to look at a very short passage. I knew we would have a little while in our baby dedication, so I'm trying to keep it brief today. Matthew 14, verses 34 through 36. If you would follow along with me as I read from the Word of the Lord. Matthew gives us this account here under the inspiration of the Spirit. And he says, when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Would you pray with me this morning as we consider God's Word? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for its truth. I thank you for the invitation that you give us, Lord, the invitation that was just sung. You invite us to come and taste of the living water. And today we're going to see an example of people who came and did just that. And Father, I pray that we would not sit here today and go through this service and listen to music and watch babies and think about our moms without focusing on the most important thing, which is you. So Lord, right now, would you just captivate our hearts? God, capture our full attention. God, may we hear from you in your word and may we respond in faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, today is Mother's Day, and this isn't going to be a tried and true Mother's Day sermon, but I was intentionally focusing on this passage for today because I do think there are some themes to carry over. But thinking of Mother's Day, you know, it's no secret that moms have it hard. You know, being a mom is not an easy job. Those of you who are not moms, you may have recognized that. A couple of days ago, we had a kids event up here at the church, and it was a mom and sons thing, so Leanna came up here with John David, and I volunteered to watch the buddies and take care of the rest of the crew at the house. No problem, right? I mean, done this before. I'm a dad. I'm good. I've got this. Well, by the time Leanna got home, the babies are screaming and, you know, things are a mess. And I quickly realized, you know what? She's a champ and I'm not in the big leagues yet. I'm still very much in the minors. But, you know, it's kind of crazy sometimes when you think about all the things that moms do. Last night, my kids, before they went to bed, they were watching the movie Cheaper by the Dozen. You ever seen that? It's kind of what our family feels like, you know, with six kids. But, you know, the dad's scrambling around. He can't keep up with everything. When the mom's out, it's just chaos. And you realize just how much mothers do. And here's why. Because when you're a mom, there's always needs, right? There's always a need that needs to be addressed. I mean, you've got scraped knees, you've got runny noses, you've got crying and fussing and fighting and whining, and that's just from the husbands, right? That's not even talking about the kids. So you got all this responsibility, right? And it's all kinds of stuff that gets dumped on you as a mom, and sometimes it can be overwhelming. Well, you know, as I think about that, here's why I mention that, not just because it's Mother's Day, but when I look at today's text, I see when these people come to Jesus, you know what one word is to describe them? Needy. They needed Jesus. There were a lot of people who come to Jesus, and every single one of them had needs. Now, we've looked at this before. When needy people come to Jesus, they're never an inconvenience. They're never a distraction. Jesus takes time, and he ministers to each one. But rather than focusing on that theme today, I want to come at our text from the angle of those who came to Jesus, those who needed Jesus, and even more than that, those who knew other people needed Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about in today's text from Matthew chapter 14. A little bit of background, if you're maybe a guest with us today or here maybe for the first time in a while, we've been walking through this book together, and we're right in the middle of Jesus' public ministry. And right over the past couple of chapters, Jesus has been going back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. He's been working miracles and teaching, and his travels have kind of taken him back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. So just to kind of keep us up to speed, I put a little map together again today. It helps me to kind of know where we're at. Maybe it'll help you. So if you look up on the screen, you see the map, the Sea of Galilee. We're zoomed in there. It's in the northern part of Israel. Jesus had been on the northeastern shore, the right side of the map. He had been over there in an area probably around Bethsaida. That's where we see the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. If you remember, Jesus had been on the west side. He crossed the sea to get away from the crowds, but what did he meet when he got there? Crowds, and they all were hungry, and so Jesus feeds them with the fish and the loaves and works that miracle. And then if you remember from last week, Rob preached on the passage where Jesus sends the disciples back across to the western side, and on the way, what happens? A storm comes up, and then Jesus walks across the water, and he calms the storm. He called Peter out to walk on the waves with him, and we had that whole message there of faith and trusting in Jesus that we looked at last week. Well, in today's passage of Scripture, they finished the journey back across to the northwestern side to a place called Gennesaret. And that's where we pick up our text, where when Jesus arrives in Gennesaret, this small community, he is met with one word: needs. Needs. Lots of needy people who come to him looking for help. And as we look at these people who come to Jesus, there's one little thing I want you to see, one big thing, really. It's our big idea. Look at it with me at our big idea today from our passage of Scripture. If we care about others, we'll connect them with Jesus. If we care about others, we'll connect them with Jesus. Very quickly today, I just want to walk through these three verses and ask you three questions. Three questions that help us to think, what do I need to do in response to who Jesus is? How can I bring other people to him? This Mother's Day, this day where we think about family and those we care about and those we love. If we really care about people, we'll connect them with Jesus. So how do we do that? Three questions. Number one, have you truly recognized the importance of Jesus? Have you truly recognized the importance of Jesus? Verse 34 says, when they crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick. All right, one word here jumps off the page at me. Before Jesus does anything, before he moves on and teaches, before he even does any miraculous works, what happens? When he arrives on the shore, the boat has barely scraped upon the rocks on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. We are told there that there are some men. And they look out and they see this boat and they see these guys, 13 of them, getting out of this boat. And all of a sudden, what do they see? They recognize Jesus. They see him for who he really is. They recognize, here's the guy. Now think about it. Jesus by this point was well known, or at least his name was. Everybody had heard stories. This is the man who heals lepers. This is the man who gives blind people their sight. This is the man who's raised people from the dead. This is the guy who has fed 5,000 plus people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And we see this miracle upon miracle upon miracle. So the name of Jesus had gone all over the land. And here are these guys, they realize, that's him. This is the guy. This is the guy that we've heard so much about. He's right here. He's in our town, and they recognize him. And here's what we need to understand. In that moment, they may not have recognized everything there is to know about Jesus. They didn't put it all together. They didn't have the theological map that was full to them. They didn't understand the Messiah in full. They didn't understand his crucifixion and resurrection that was going to happen. They didn't have the full picture of Jesus, but here's what they knew. They recognized Jesus had power, and they recognized that he would be willing to help them. And so they came to Jesus. But it started with a recognition of who Jesus really was. And so here's, before we even get any further into the text, we see this picture of desperation. Man, here's the Messiah. Let's go get some people who need him. And they bring him to Jesus because they recognize how great he is. And church family, that's the key for us. Look in your notes. We talk about being desperate for Jesus and wanting to worship Jesus. You will not be desperate for Jesus until you recognize that Jesus is worth being desperate for. In other words, you have to have a full understanding, a big understanding that he is not just another man. He's not just another religious figure. He's not a good teacher. He's not even primarily a miracle worker. We're talking about a picture here of the glory of Jesus, recognizing that he's worthy of our time, worthy of our attention, worthy of our worship, worthy of our service, worthy of our whole lives. Did these men recognize all that? Probably not, but they recognized power and glory, and so should we. It starts with a recognition of who Jesus is. And you know, when we read all these stories, we've read these miracles, understand Jesus has not changed. The stories that you read about in the New Testament, the walking on the water and the feeding the 5,000 and all the healings that Jesus does, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen? And he hasn't changed one bit. If he was great then and glorious then, he's still great and glorious now. And he's worthy of our praise, and he's worthy of our attention. The problem for many of us is we're familiar with some of the things that Jesus has done, but we have failed to focus our eyes on him and truly recognize his greatness. For us, we've kind of taken Jesus, and it's like we have little compartments in our lives, and we've taken Jesus and we've put him over here in the Sunday compartment, the religious compartment, rather than making Jesus the very center of who we are. But that starts with recognizing his grace and recognizing his glory. Have you truly recognized the greatness of Jesus? Do you know, when I think about this passage, there's one other thing I want to key on before we move on. Let me go back to the beginning of that verse. Who was it? Look at your Bible. Who was it that first recognized Jesus when he arrived at Gennesaret? Somebody tell me, who was it that recognized him? The men, right? It says the men of that place. We don't know their names. We don't know their stories. We just know it's the men of that place. Now listen to me. I know today's Mother's Day, but men, listen to me. You and I have been called to take the lead in recognizing Jesus. You and I have been called to lead our family in worshiping him and elevating him and putting him where he needs to be. We look at these babies that are being dedicated. It's not the moms that are holding the babies. It's the men who have to be the ones who take the lead in recognizing his grace and his glory, just like the men of that place did. Now, ladies, there's a place for you as well. You have to do the same thing, but the men need to take the lead. This Mother's Day, let me give you moms a present, okay? Guys, listen up. Every woman, every mother, every wife desires a man who will lead their family towards the glory of Christ. God built that into their heart. And so for you and me, we need to take the lead in that. Have you truly recognized the importance of Jesus? But then that leads to a second question. So the men of that place recognize Jesus, and what do? They go out and they do something, which leads to a second question. Who in your region needs an introduction to Jesus? I put region there in quotes. Who in your region needs an introduction to Jesus? What was the response of the men? It says the men of that place recognized Jesus, and so they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick. So when the people saw Jesus, they recognized him and thought, here's the guy, the miracle worker, the fish and bread guy. This is the one who we've heard stories about. So what's the first thing they did? They didn't run up to Jesus asking for an autograph. They didn't look for a photo opportunity. They didn't want to post something on Instagram. The very first thing they did was what? They immediately thought about the people in their region who had needs. They started thinking about the sick and the poor and the hurting and the broken. And in their mind, they said, we've got to get these people to Jesus. Now, there's a very clear application here for us. It hinges on two questions. What is our region, and who in our region needs Jesus? Now, for them, their region was Gennesaret, right? That little community on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. They thought about their coworkers and their neighbors that lived down the street from them. They thought about the people that, you know, lived life with them on a daily basis. They knew the people in their circle. What's your region? It doesn't have to be geographic. It could be, right? Moultrie, Colquitt County. Maybe you live in one of the outlying communities. I don't know what your geographical region is, but we all have a region. It's the people that we know. It's the people that we love. It's the people, to use our big idea phrase, it's the people that we care about, right? Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your peers for you students. Who is in your region? And then the second question from that is, who in your region needs Jesus? Every one of us in our region, that region includes broken people, right? People that are lost. Let's start there. Is there someone in your family who does not yet know Christ? They need Jesus. Is there someone in your family who's hurting or discouraged or who's been kind of separated out? Or maybe a friend who's walking through a difficult time, a diagnosis or a health thing or a crisis of some sort. Who is in your region that has a need? And you know what? They need more than anything is Jesus. Who is in your region and what do they need? And here's the thing. That second question hinges on the first. Because if Jesus is truly that important, if he's truly that great, and if he's truly that glorious, look at your notes. If Jesus is of supreme importance, then how can we neglect to lead others to him, especially those that we love? If he really is who we say he is, if he really is the way, the truth, and the life, if he really is the Son of God, if he really is the only way to heaven, if he really is the one who cares and can move, how on earth can we love or at least claim to love people who need those things and not bring them to Christ? What we see here in this text is some men recognize that Jesus has power and glory, and their first response is to go bring as many people as they can to him. What about you? Have you recognized the importance of Jesus? And then secondly, who in your region needs to be introduced to him? But there's one more principle I want you to see here today before we wrap up. As we look in this last verse, question number three, are you reaching out and imploring Jesus? Are you reaching out and imploring Jesus? That's an interesting word, but I borrowed it straight from the text. I didn't have to get creative. Verse 36 says that these men who brought all these people to Jesus, it says they implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. So they come to Jesus, and the word here is that they implored him. That's what the English Standard Version that I use says, implored. The word here means to beg. It means to plead earnestly with someone. As a matter of fact, if you look at the original language in the New Testament, if you look at the Greek word here, it literally means to get up close and personal and ask for something. I love that word. So it's a picture of these guys. They recognize Jesus' glory, and they come right up to Jesus. They get up close and personal, and they beg him, and they beg him, and they beg him for what? They beg him to move in the lives of the people that they have brought to him. They don't ask for themselves. They don't ask for money. They don't ask for food. They don't ask for bread and fish. They don't ask for those things. They ask for Jesus to move in the lives of those they brought to him, the lives of those that they care about. And notice what they ask him to do. Hey, Jesus, if you'll just let them touch the hem of your garment, just that small little thread, you don't even have to do much. Just let them come and touch the hem of your garment that they may be made well. You know what they recognized? They recognized that if they brought people to Jesus, even a little touch from Jesus can make a big difference. And so they begged him, and they begged him, and they begged him, hey, Jesus, please move on behalf of those that we are bringing to you. As I read that verse this week, you know what question I had to ask myself? A very convicting question. Let me pose it to you. What are you begging Jesus for? What are you pleading with him about? What are you imploring him to do? You know what? For some of us, we're not doing much pleading at all. Many of us aren't engaging in prayer. We're not bringing our needs before the Lord. We're not doing those things because we're so busy wrapped up in our lives. But if you are bringing requests to Jesus, what are they? Many times it's surface level stuff. God, bless me and keep me safe. And there's nothing wrong with those prayers. But what are you really getting on your knees? What are you getting up close and personal with Jesus about? And for us, it needs to be people who need Jesus. Who do you know? Who in your family doesn't yet have a relationship with Christ? And when was the last time you brought that person up before the Lord and begged him to move and draw that person to himself? What about your friends? Who in your friendship circle is hurting or broken and discouraged? And are you just sending those texts that, hey, I'm praying for you, and you go about your day? Or are you really getting on your knees and going before the Father up close and personal and saying, God, please, please intercede for this person. Please heal this person. Please meet their need. God, please use me to help meet their need. What are you begging Jesus for? And this Mother's Day, there are huge implications for us as families. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, are you imploring God for the sake of your kids and your grandkids? Husbands, are you imploring God on behalf of your spouse? Wives, are you doing the same thing for your husbands? Students, are you praying for your friends that don't yet know Jesus? Every one of us has a region. Are you praying and imploring Jesus for those who truly need him, the people that are in your region? And here's some good news. Put this there in your notes. You do not have to be a theological expert to pray for those you love. You just have to care. Here's why I put that in your notes. When you look at these men who implored Jesus, they didn't understand it all. They didn't know how the miracles worked. They didn't know how Jesus did the things that he did. They didn't understand the fullness of it. They just knew a little touch from Jesus went a long way. And so they just said, hey, Jesus, just a touch. They cared so much, they brought these people to him. Sometimes we convince ourselves, well, we don't know enough to do much, and we're just a simple old little Christian guy. I'm just going to put my head down and live my life. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to care enough about the people around you to bring them up before the Lord and to reach out to them and connect them to Christ. So three questions. Have you truly recognized the importance of Jesus? Who in your region needs an introduction to Jesus? And then this third one, right? This third picture of, am I willing to implore Jesus on behalf of those that I care about? And here's maybe the most convicting question of all. How much do I really care about the people that are around me? Because as we started out with our big idea, if we really care about others, we will connect them with Jesus. So let me just close with this one picture. You came in today, it's Mother's Day, we've done a lot of things, but very quickly, we've walked through a passage of Scripture with some clear applications for us today. Whether you're a mom or not, whether you're a family or not, whether you're just here doing whatever it is that you're doing in your life, every one of us has clear implications and applications from this text. Here's why. Because just as those men stood there on the shore and watched Jesus pull up in that boat at the Sea of Galilee that day, here's you and I today. Jesus has just approached us. We've all been presented with this same passage of Scripture. The shore of that boat just scraped up into the rocks of your heart, and your heart called Gennesaret. And here's what Jesus wants to know. How are you going to respond? Number one, have you recognized his greatness and glory? Do you know who Jesus is? Not just do you know about him, not just have you read stories, but do you recognize him? Do you know him? Have you repented of your sin and placed your faith in Christ for salvation? Do you have a relationship with Jesus today? Question number two, if you do that, if you have known Jesus and if you have recognized him, who do you need to bring to him today? Maybe they're here in this room. Maybe it's somebody that you need to reach out to at work or down the street. Who needs Jesus? And what's God calling you to do to connect them? And then lastly, who are you praying for? Who are those people that you are begging Jesus to move in their lives? Maybe today God will lay somebody on your heart. Would you pray with me as we consider these questions this morning? Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for our brief time in it. I thank you that you minister to needy, hurting people, because God, we all qualify for that. But God, you don't call us to stand by and be absent when others around us need you. In your sovereign grace, you've chosen to use us as the primary means of sharing the gospel and doing ministry. So God, may we not neglect that. Help us to have a high view of you, to see you in your glory, high and lifted up like Isaiah did. And God, may we respond by saying, here am I, send me. Father, as we think about those in our circle, in our region, help us to be willing to reach out, to share Christ, to offer a hand, to be a blessing to, but God, to pray for them. Convict our hearts. Even right now, lay a soul upon our heart to bring before you. God, may this Mother's Day not pass us by without us focusing on you and what you've called us to do. So help us, God, to do that now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.